everyone. I'm glad to see so many people here. I'm here to talk about how local public health agencies have integrated this cavity-free at three services into our programs that are already interacting with high-risk clients. Local public health clients are amongst those at highest risk of suffering from dental caries. Health departments often do not employ dental professionals and lack the capacity to address oral health. Cavity-free at three changes all of that. It empowers local public health providers to integrate cavity prevention into its services for high-risk clients. The presentation goals are to talk about how three Coloradan counties have integrated cavity-free at three services into their existing programs and report the cost and scope of these services. So this is just a little review. The human cost of caries is what you find in the heart of public health nurses. This is what motivates the public health nurse to step outside of her traditional role and look in the mouth and think about how to provide full health to the child. We've discussed some of this already, but it is the most common chronic childhood disease. And poor children have nearly 12 times more restricted activity days because of dental-related illness than children from higher-income families. Also, dental disease causes pain that affects children's ability to eat properly, grow, attend school, and learn. Also important to consider in how to invest public health monies is the financial cost of caries. Children under three develop a full mouth of cavities very quickly. Often we'll see not just one cavity, but a lot of cavities at once when we see a child who's three and hasn't yet been to the dentist. This treatment often requires general anesthesia, and as we already discussed, one full mouth restoration costs approximately $10,000 to $15,000. Furthermore, those parents who do not have insurance and cannot afford the full mouth restoration still have to spend hundreds to thousands of dollars to extract their child's painful teeth. So the counties we're looking at here are Eagle County, Grand County, and Jefferson County. I pulled some census data from 2009 to give you an overview of the character of these counties. The first one we'll talk about, Eagle County, has a population of about 53,000. 6.8% are below the poverty level. The median household income is $73,000, and there are about 4,500 kids under the age of five in that county. Now you'll see the median home price here is $675,000. This is the county that houses Vail and Beaver Creek ski resorts, so there's quite a large disparity of income in that county. Grand County is the next one we'll discuss. That has a small population of only about 14,000, 6.9% below the poverty level, median household income, 60,000, and median home price, 205,000. The final county we'll discuss is Jefferson County. It's the largest county in the state. It has about 40,000 folks living below the poverty level, median household income, 66,000. 31,000 people under five, and a median home price less than the previous two. So when did we all embark on this? These counties were all recipients of Cavity Free at Three Technical Assistant Grant in 2008. This grant was it seemed ideal for public health agencies. It came with $10,000 cash to cover costs of training and other incidentals, on-site education and training in the infant oral health protocol, public health nurses and dental hygienists and various other folks attended these trainings. Also, there were infant oral care kits for the exam, provider and patient information and education tools, evaluation of the implementation, of the model, and technical assistance across the board. Anytime we needed help, there was someone to call. The value of all these services were about $50,000 per grant. So public health nurses at each of these counties set out to design a delivery model that worked best for their office and their clients. We used the nursing process as we do in all things nursing. This involved community assessment, coming up with a diagnosis, program planning, implementation, evaluation, and finally sustaining the program after that $50,000 exhausted and it was time to take ownership of things. So there were some common commonalities between all the counties. The target population is low income. They had multiple barriers to accessing preventive care and regularly attend appointments to meet immediate needs in other programs in those counties. So it is difficult to get some low-income families to prioritize coming to a preventive appointment, but it really helped to integrate oral health services into programs that were a high priority because they met immediate needs. So these programs were WIC nutrition program, immunization programs, home visitation programs, and child care programs. These are all the places you'll find high-risk kids under five in most counties. So they also shared common barriers to access, knowledge deficit. A lot of families still believe that a child doesn't need to see the dentist until they're in school or their mouth hurts. A lot of families have competing priorities for the time and money that would be required to access preventive care. There is often an acceptance of the problem of cavities in some families, and you'll hear repeatedly that it doesn't matter because it'll fall out anyway. It doesn't, you know, just pull it, or that baby tooth doesn't matter. Also, there's a lack of resources in low-income families to pay for care. And in a lot of the counties, there were either unlinked or absent referral networks for these uninsured or publicly insured clients. So the three counties basically sent everyone they could to these trainings who encounter their clients. Public health nurses, Jefferson County found some independent dental hygienists from the community who were Medicaid providers and invited them to get the training so they could work with the WIC program. Local dental providers were invited, medical providers were invited, interpreters, and even paramedics were invited in one of the counties. So we'll start with Eagle County. Their challenges include that there are no pediatric dental providers in the county. Only one medicated dental provider is there, but he doesn't see children under age six. Children follow in their parents' footsteps of developing poor oral health habits. Bethany, the public health nurse there, told me that they encountered several pre-teenagers who did not know how to brush their teeth. So it's something that gets passed along in families. Many of the families are uninsured. There is a high cost of living in that county that takes an extra toll on those who are low income. And almost 30% of their population has Hispanic origins, and some portion of those don't speak English. So there's a language barrier there also. Eagle County recognized these major problems in 2007 and formed an Eagle County Smiles Coalition. Cavity-free three services became part of that coalition effort. So in 2008, they trained their public health nurses and integrated the services into their WIC program. Now, the way they did that was they had the WIC educators tell each client about a separate cavity-free at three clinic that was going to occur and get them to come back to that clinic to get the oral health services from the public health nurses. And they also served as translators, the educators. So existing bilingual staff was used to do the translations for these screenings. In 2009, a bunch of community dentists and physicians were trained, and so now cavity-free at three services are integrated into well child exams at their safety net clinic in several primary care offices. And in 2010, they trained two paramedics to hold community CF3 clinics, and the details of that is in progress. But as you can see, it's an evolving program. One of the main problems in this county was not having any treatment options for people who were identified to have cavities. So this coalition got dental vans to come up several times and provided over 2,000 treatments to about 200 kids to get their problems addressed. So their success, here's some numbers that I got from Bethany. In 2008, you'll see they served 253 children. And that may not seem like a high number, but it is 15% of all children under 5 in that county. So that is a significant percentage, as you can see. Next, we'll talk about Grand County. They had some of the same challenges as we've seen everywhere. The parents believe the children do not need dental care until they start school or their teeth hurt. A lot of children are uninsured. Parents cannot pay for dental services, and there were no service providers for low-income children under age 3 until, I guess, the last 2 months or so. Their service delivery model was basically they trained two of their public health nurses and an interpreter, and every time those folks came into contact with a high-risk client, they did the screening. So simple, but very effective. So they pulled from the WIC program clients, immunization, home visitation, child care facilities, and it became such a part of what they do that they would, even someone who came in the door, if they looked like they were in the target population, they were offered a screening. So they've done 256 screenings in about a 2-year time period. And if you don't count population turnover or perhaps a few repeat screenings, which Bryn, the public health nurse there, says there were very few repeat screenings, this is 33% of all children under 5 in that county. So you can imagine the impact that this has had there. Again, the numbers don't seem huge, but when you consider the population of children under 5 in these counties, it's a pretty amazing impact. Jefferson County is a totally different beast from these other places. It's the largest county, and 8,000 target population clients are enrolled in their WIC program alone. So that's a nice place to concentrate your efforts on accessing those clients. The challenge with this was that program doesn't employ public health nurses or direct care providers, so they had to be a little creative in how they were going to integrate services into that program. Another challenge is that many of their clients have public insurance, but they don't utilize their benefits. And the ones who are uninsured can't afford dental health and can't prioritize until the child is in pain. So Jefferson County service delivery model involved recruiting independent registered dental hygienists from the community who were already Medicaid providers, and asking them to come to the WIC offices where you just have a couple hundred high-risk families or high-risk, you know, clients a day in the waiting room, and just asking them to pull clients from the waiting room and do the screening on them. It has worked very well. The dental hygienists are not compensated by the county. They bill Medicaid for the clients who are billable, and they see the rest pro bono in exchange for not having to pay for supplies and office space. So we give them a room, and it's an arrangement that works for everybody. They end up being compensated equivalent or more than they would if they were to go work in an office. So it's kind of a win-win situation with incentives, and that helps with sustainability. Another challenge in Jefferson County was that there was a large referral network, a lot of Medicaid providers who see children under 3, but there were so many it was difficult to find one. So they pulled out all of the Medicaid providers who see children under three and put them on a separate list as a referral source and gave that to all of their clients. Also, all of the clients were encouraged to establish a dental home as part of the screening process. So Jefferson County began screenings in February of 2009, and as of June 30, they had done 1,500 screenings. 87.5% of those screenings scored a high risk on the CARES risk assessment. So we know we're getting the most bang for our buck in terms of who we're providing the service to. Also, another separate program started with Head Start, where the dental hygienist will go to Head Start and just do all the kids. and that was a very efficient way to deliver the service. So the keys to sustaining this program in public health settings are that once you integrate it, it's part of your other programs and doesn't cost a lot of extra money. It's basically a startup cost of training everyone and changing the mentality around not worrying about the mouth. Linking existing resources, getting all your clients into dental homes when they're available is important. Facilitating the establishment of dental homes by giving referrals and maybe encouraging some dentists who accept Medicaid and see kids under three to move into the county. Building capacity of public health providers and dental providers in the community. It's a team effort. Public health doesn't have to take responsibility for this. The more you can train others, the more effective you'll be. And to pay attention to stakeholder feedback and do whatever you can to improve the system based on their experience. So here are the contacts from each county if you want more information. Bethany Van Wyk from Eagle County, Gail Van Bakken from Grand County, and Susan Moyer, who's over there from Jefferson County. So see me afterwards if you have any questions, and I'll give you those contact info. All right, that's it.